Amen. I tell you, we had a great time with the Top Hand for God program this week. Our version of Vacation Bible School. It was a lot of fun. Good morning. Everybody doing good this morning? Everybody been getting ready here. We've been worshiping the Lord through song. Now it's time to see what God has for us coming from His Word. You know, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the Top Hands for God that we had this week with the kiddos. You know, we had Sharon and all her workers out there every single day working, and it was great. We had the first day we had the EMTs came and did a program outside, and it was wonderful, great job. And then the police department came the next day and did one inside the building here. And then the next day, the fire department came and did a presentation for them. They love that one a lot. And then the very last week, which I think was one of the best ones, was, you know, Brad came together with the round pin out in the dirt out there, and we kind of had church in the dirt outside in the arena. And Larry Nolan and Zach came, and Wendell brought some steers, and they got to see cowboys pushing steers around real quietly all around the pen without anybody getting excited, nobody, and just opened up the pen, and they just walked right in and then shut the gate. They got to see teamwork, how it works, and how when you're doing, you know what you're doing, and you have a job to do, God provides, and it goes smooth. It was wonderful. It was such a blessing to see. What a week. You know, but my favorite night, that was pretty close, but my favorite was the mud night. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The fire department came, Ryan and them came, and they dumped two fire trucks full of water. I don't know how many thousands of gallons, but it was a lot of water, y'all. And just filled this arena up with this big, giant mud hole. Then went back and filled the trucks up and brought more. And, I mean, it was a pig slop hole. It was. It was terrible. And everybody, there was only three. It amazed me, you know, I thought all the workers should be involved in this. And all the parents, too. But there was only actually three people in the mud hole. And I was one of them. Now, how did that work? It was nasty, y'all. It was nasty. It was literally muddy. Go figure. You know, it was hilarious because the kids really got into it. They would grab a handful of sloppy mud and they would try to throw it. And you know, I mean, they would be aiming for one person, especially me. And sometimes they would hit, and sometimes they'd miss, and it'd go by and hit somebody else in the head. It was hilarious. Well, it was, unless you got hurt. It wasn't so good. Sometimes they'd even pick up thinking what they thought was mud, and they might have had a rock in it, you know, and they'd sling that. Sometimes they would look, and they'd thinking, you know, I really want to get to pastor really, really muddy. But he's just, you know, and they throw one, and they go, you know, that just didn't have the effect that I wanted. So they'd either come back and scrape it off, or they'd go and throw it again, or they'd grab a whole big handful and then throw it at me and then kind of grind it in. The smear technique. Y'all ever had that done to you? They just kind of, you got them in the back, you got them in the sides, everybody's in the front, and they're all just smearing you with dirt and mud. And they just love doing it. And but if it didn't get exactly the way they wanted it, a lot of times they ended up getting each other muddy themselves. Even when they would grab mud, they couldn't seem to throw it without getting themselves dirty. I don't know if the mothers and dads noticed that or the other workers, but every time they'd go to grab something, they'd come way back here, and as it came by, it just sloshed the whole side of their head. They got just as nasty, just as dirty as everybody else. And it would get in the eyes, and we'd have to wash the kids. They'd be a little crying a little bit, you know, oh, I can't see, you know. And but it was a fun time. But as I was standing there in that arena in that mud, God spoke to me. He spoke to me. I mean, and it was so loud and so clear that I had to actually go get cleaned off, which the fire department was willing to do. They just turned this big giant hose on, and I mean, with a stream this big around, it hit me. It liked to knock me down. But they said, well, turn around. And I mean, that water was going everywhere in places it shouldn't. But, you know, and I thought I was clean. I thought, man, with this hose, there can't be any place on me that's still dirty. I got home that night, and I went to get in the shower, and I looked in the mirror, and there was a clod about this big around that was glued to my back, right between my shoulder blade. And it was about a quarter inch thick. How I missed it, I don't know. But it was hard to get off of you. That stuff stuck to you. You know, we tried to clean the kids up as best we could. But the mud got on everybody. Even the spectators that were outside walking, I'd ask them, I'd say, how come you're not in here in the mud? Oh, I'm holding my phone. I'm taking pictures. So, oh. And one lady says, oh, I got two phones. I said, oh, you're double protected, huh? You don't have to get in here because you got two. But everybody had a good time, and we got to go home. You know, it's fun to throw dirt and mud till somebody gets hurt. And I noticed that even as much fun as we were having, there were still several of them that got hurt. It was kind of funny. We played this game where that they put – it wasn't bad enough that they – put these swimming pools out there, and then they run plastic on top in between them like a ball field. Then they put baby oil all over the plastic. And I'm telling you, it's hard to stand up. These kids, they didn't care. They would slide, they'd fall, they'd bust themselves. But every once in a while, they'd get hurt, and they'd kind of cry out a little bit, and we'd have to help them. You know, but mud slinging is fun, isn't it? Isn't it fun? I got to thinking about, as much as kids love to throw mud, we adults like to do it too. I mean, I watch Sharon Nolan. She is vicious. My wife was in there too, and she was vicious. I mean, but nobody was safe. Everybody was going to get covered from head to toe. And I'm talking about top of your head till you had it in your boots or in your shoes or you was barefooted between your toes. I got to thinking about as the Lord was speaking to me about it. He said, you know, mud is mud. And, you know, we as adults, we like to sling it too. But we call it something else. We call it gossip. That's what the scripture calls it. That hit me right between the eyes. I'm telling you, I said, man, Lord, how did I miss this? And he just kept on talking to me from that moment on, from Wednesday on. He said, you know, mud is mud. It doesn't matter if it's the truth or if it's a lie. It doesn't matter. And I got to looking, and I thought, you know, surely the one that gets hit with the mud is the one that's really the worst off. But I watched the kids. And when someone got hit with mud, they didn't look at that kid and go, oh, you're really messed up. They turned and looked at the one that was slinging the mud. Especially if they slung it and they got hurt. Yo, what are you thinking? The person that did the slinging got the bad rap. Not the one that was filthy and dirty with mud. It was just something that the Lord told me. He said, it doesn't matter whether it's the truth or not, brother. Mud is mud. You know, we sling mud and gossip because, I guess because it's fun. I guess it's because we don't like the person. Maybe they slung some mud on us. Maybe we've heard that they did, not whether it's true or not, but we think that they have. So we don't mind throwing just a little bit. Just a little bit. A little bit goes a long way. It doesn't affect really the person that get hits with it. It's the person who does the slinging. That's what the Lord revealed to me. He said, you know, really, that person that you're slinging the mud at is not the enemy. I got to thinking about, well, really, the world is the enemy. He says, no, the world is not the enemy. The other person is not the enemy. He said, there's only one enemy. He says, there's only one God. There's only one. There's only one Son that He sent to the cross, who shed His blood on the cross for our sins. There's only one Son, one Savior. There's only one Holy Spirit. Just one. There's only one enemy. He's the one that controls the world. He's the one that controls, but there's only one enemy. There's only one. It was so real, it come to me how easy it is to spread mud. How easy it is to spread just a little bit, whether it's through jealousy or for whatever reason, some of us love to do it. In the scriptures, let's look in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 3. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 3. This is what Timothy said. He said, you should know this. This is talking about the last days before Christ comes. He said, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. This is Paul writing to Timothy. I had it backwards. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful, proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving, and they will slander others. That's slinging mud, gossiping. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. Whew. You know, I got to thinking about why do we as Christians, why do people in period, whether you're a believer or not, sling mud? Why do they feel it's necessary? I used to have a boss that loved to do it. This guy was very insecure, and the only way he could make himself feel better is if he throwed a little mud on somebody else, and it somehow or another, he got a charge out of it. It kind of made him look better. What he was going through his life, he always liked to point out other people's errors, other people's sins, other people's problems. You know, he'd say, well, she's been married 3 or 4 times. Well, he's been married 5 times. Man, you know, just, and it, you think, well, that's not very bad to say. Well, yeah, it is. That's mud. You're trying to hurt that person's integrity. You're trying to take something from that person. You're trying to sling a little mud. Jesus said it best like this in John 15, 9 through 11. I'm going to read that. He said, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will be overflowing. Jesus is talking about loving each other to the point that it overflows. I got to thinking about, you know, I would never sling mud on a mud lug. I would never sling mud to a family member. You ever thought about someone that I cared about, someone that I loved? I'd never even think about doing it. But I might do it for someone who's just I just barely know, or I think I know. Be willing to say something. Make a comment. Make a statement about it. But I'd never do it to someone that I love, because why? Why wouldn't you do it? You wouldn't want to hurt them, because you love them. You love them so much that you'd never want to see them go through any type of pain. We should always treat others the way that we want to be treated. You know it? We should always treat others. This thing right here that I got hold of, this tongue, it says it's as sharp as a two-edged sword. And it says that it can cut to the bone just with words. I got to thinking about it. You know, if we could control this little critter right here, that one of the littlest things in our body, I guess our fingers are probably smaller, because some of us got bigger tongues than others, right? Amen? Did I get an amen on that? This thing right here, if we could control it, just think what life would be like. If we could control the almighty tongue, what would this world look like? What would it look like, not in just this church, every church? I've seen churches split because of that thing right there, by something said about someone else, something said about the preacher, something said about the people who lead the music, the worship service, something said about a deacon or an elder or a lay pastor. Or one of their wives. Woo! That little sucker right there. But you know, if we could control that through love, think what this world would be like. Just think for just a minute. No more problems. No more headaches. No more wondering about someone saying something about us. Because we know that all that person is interested in is praying for us. Two times this week, I've had two different men tell me that they were praying for me this week. That God got on to them about praying, that they hadn't been praying for me. I tell you, when someone is praying for you and you know that they've been praying for you, it just makes everything go a lot smoother. Because you know that there's someone lifting you up in prayer before the Father to the throne. If we all did that instead of talking about everybody else, what they're doing or not doing, and we were lifting each other up in prayer, all of us would have that same feeling. It'd be a great day, because it's all about loving each other without any conditions or any strings tied to it. It's not what I can get out of it. It's not so that I can get my way. It really don't have anything to do with what's right or wrong, what's a lie or what's a truth. It just says we should be obedient to what God is telling us to do. And gossip is something that he says. There's about, I looked it up in the concordance about how many verses there are about just the word gossip, mudslinging. There was about 10 of them. And there was only a couple of them in the Old Testament. Most of them were right here in the New Testament. Where we say, well, you know, the Old Testament's dead. We don't have to pay attention to that. That's a lie. But that's a lie from the devil. But anyhow, what I'm saying is that even in the New Testament, it talks about what we should and shouldn't be doing. How many of us would just love to just be loved for who we are? No matter what you did in your past, it don't matter. It's forgiven. No matter what you're going to do, it doesn't matter. You know that you want to be loved. You want to be loved by somebody. I could not stand up here in this pulpit if I didn't love you. I couldn't say the words that the Lord give me to say if I didn't love you. And I do. I love you. But it's tough. It's tough telling the truth sometimes. It's tough. And I'm not saying that Common Ground Cowboy Church is just completely eat up with gossip. That's not what I'm talking about. This is just from the Lord. He was talking to me. He said, son, you have slipped a few times and you've let people come up to you and say something about somebody else and you, uh-huh. That might be true. He slapped me down. He slapped me down for it. So I'm not talking about us as a body whole that we're just eat up with this. It's just something that the Lord was talking to me. Maybe there's somebody else out here that needs to hear this message besides me. Love, love, love. All you need is love. There's a song out there somewhere that I used to hear all the time. I know some of you old folks are going, I know that song. I know that song. Sing it. No, I ain't going to sing it. But if we want to really, if we just can't help ourselves, if we really have to sling something, if we just can't help ourselves, we've got to throw something at somebody else. Let's throw love. Woo! Sling them with it. Like those kids trying to get me muddy, they was trying to put it in my ears. Just get that love out there so strong, so thick that you can't wash it off. No matter what's going on, you cannot get past it. You know, you feel it. You live it. You breathe love. And what it does is it causes you to turn around and just splatter somebody else with love. I think if Jesus was here today, if he was he's here, but if he was physically standing right here, what would Jesus say about love? He would say, I love you. I love you more than my life. You know, he gave his up for me. He gave his life up for you because of one thing, love. He forgave me of all the things that I did before I became a Christian. He forgave me of all those things and just wiped that slate clean with his blood. You know, nowadays we don't like to talk about blood because we think, oh, that's kind of gross. But that's what he did. He shed his blood for us. He let all the lifeblood come out of himself to wash away our sins because of love. If we're going to sling anything from this time on, let's slap somebody right in the mouth with a big old love pie. I mean, just give it to them. Throw it at them. Smear it. Kind of grind it in like the kids like to do. You look and you go, you know, I just didn't love them enough. I need to love them a little bit more. I need to show a little bit more. So you just get some more and you just keep spreading it until finally you notice that there's a difference in what you're looking at. They actually know that you really do love them and you really do care about them. Slap it on, smear it on, grind it in. All we need is love. If we're going to sling, what are we going to sling from now on? What are we going to sling from now on? What are we going to sling from right this point on? Love. Because I'm telling you, everybody needs a full measure of love. There's people that give up their life. They commit suicide for one reason. There's no hope. The hope is they have no hope that they're ever going to be loved. They feel unloved. That's what is wrong with this world. We need to love people. I'm talking about to the point where sometimes it's painful. Not because we like them or because they're even lovable. They may be stinkers. Woo! There's a bunch of them out there. They may be real stinkers. They may be so dadgum unlovable, nobody wants to be around them. They go, oh, you don't want to be around that guy. But they're the ones that need the love. Think about what changes people's life. It's love. It's because they know that somebody cares so much about them that they would spread love to them and sling it on them. Let's do some really good slinging this week. Somebody that you know that needs some love. I'm talking about if you got to get a shotgun, one of them shotgun love machines that you can just really spread it out there. Whatever you got that you can spread love, try it. See what happens. It can make the most sour puss type person that doesn't want to be, even really doesn't like people, it can change their heart and melt it. It can, Christ, the love that you're sharing, Christ can say, hey, I love you. This guy is loving you because of me, because I loved him first. And I love you just as much. Do you know anybody that like that needs love? I know I do. It's time we start sharing it. Amen? Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. Whew, man, Lord. Is it hot in here or what? But Lord, I'm sweating like crazy up here. I feel that the Holy Spirit is speaking to someone this morning like you spoke to me in that arena. I'm guilty. I know I'm guilty. I pray, Father, that I would share love instead of mud. That I would share your love instead of negative words. I pray that I would share your unconditional love, Father, instead of dirt. I pray that we all, even Father, those that may not, they may be sitting here this morning, they don't feel loved. Maybe they don't have, they've never received your love. They've never received the free gift of eternal life. They now know what I'm talking about. I pray that if the Holy Spirit is drawing them to you, I pray, Father, that they would come to Christ this morning, that they'd accept the free gift, that they'd accept the blood, Father, that you shed for them because you loved them. I pray this week, Father, that we reach out to this community, not just to our families, but to this community and spread love. Splatter it out to the whole community to where they feel it. We can start right now. We can start tonight with the fifth Sunday singing for those that come and visit. We can share Christ's love. Make them feel loved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your many blessings. I pray that it changes our heart the way we think. Before we go to open our mouth, that we change and say something loving and positive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to welcome you to Common Ground Cowboy Church. If you're visiting, you're probably going, whoo, man, what's he talking about? This church must be full of a bunch of folks that gossip. That's not what this is about. This was about me and anyone else out there that needs to hear this message. I was one, the chief one, doing it. If you're looking for a church home, I pray you'd consider Common Ground Cowboy Church. It is a loving church, and we love each other, and it's a family. And we're always looking how we can help each other. Have y'all had a chance to look at the building out there? There's a lot happening out there. I mean, the electrician is working, the walls are up, one of the air conditioners is in, and we're going to be getting another one and to put in on the other side. If you see somebody that's on the building team and you know it, tell them thank you, because they're going out here and they're working during the week in the hot It's not always cool. We've been trying to keep it cool out there, but sometimes it's not very cool for them to work in. And you need to just tell them how much you appreciate what they're doing. Amen? No matter what trail God sends you on this week, I pray that he would bless you and he would guide you in every step you take. And y'all come back tonight for the fifth Sunday singing. God bless y'all.